Well, good morning. It's probably appropriate that today is a Resurrection Sunday because I found out I was teaching about 5 minutes ago. Obviously, after I passed out, I had to have something that would lift me back up. So, Pastor, I guess he had a couple other things on his mind, and he just forgot to say something to me about it. So, anyway, you guys just have to bear with me this morning. I usually pray a little bit different when I'm, if I'm here versus with the class that I do upstairs. But also, I always use this little iPad. The main reason why I do that is that if I tried to do this and have notes like Pastor does, I can't read my writing. So I have to have something that at least I have a better shot of being able to do that. So that being said, turn in your Bibles with me to 1 John chapter 4. I thought it was just to kind of bring you a little bit of background. We have been in the class with the, upstairs with the singles and the career and college. We've been going over, they had asked me years ago, before COVID, that, hey, we would like to have a series on the attributes of God. So we've been going through different attributes of him. And today I just thought I'd been kind of saving, I thought it was appropriate on Easter Sunday to talk about the love of God as one of his, as definitely one of his attributes. And that's what I had prepared to bring to them today. So I wanted to kind of start in 1 John chapter 4. And let's start in verse 6. It says, "We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." Now, I want to read some more in this particular passage, but I did want to stop here just for a second, because the Bible clearly says, and Pastor taught a message on it last Sunday when he was here. He talked about the love of God. And so I want to talk about, when we talk about attributes, that one thing we always have to make sure of, and I tell this to the class every single week, is that, God is incomprehensible. Okay, God is so great. We can never get a grasp of what God is really like. And fortunately, God, when it comes to any of his attributes, whether it be mercy, whether it be grace, whether it be, his being infinite, whether it being all-knowing, everything we know about God, we only know because he let us know something about him. He's revealed it in his word. And then if you look at verse number 9, God showed us or revealed to us really what he meant when he said that God is love. How did he show this? And you think about it for a second. Have you ever been around somebody and they say they love you, but you sit back and you go, well, I'm not really sure about this, okay? Is somebody just saying it, is that enough? Since we have quite a few people here that are married, I'm sure to the wives, if your husband said, hey, I love you, and maybe only said it once or twice, I guess you heard before when they say, hey, I said it to you when we got married. If I change my mind, I'll let you know, if it changes. But, you think about it for a second. Is that going to be good enough? What do they have to do to demonstrate that love? Do they have to do something, or can they just say it? Now, I guess you're going to talk as much as my other class does. But that's okay. The point being is, all of us have to have or show love by what we do. I always go back. My dad. My dad was a fantastic dad, growing up and probably almost all the way up to the day just before he passed away. I never heard. My dad never said that he loved me, but there was never a day that I doubted it. He didn't have to, and the reason why he didn't have to was because my dad always showed it. He showed it to every one of us, and there was never a question. He could have said it all day long, and we would have never known it any more than what we knew. I remember. Just the kind of dad that he was. I was born with a heart defect. Doctors, I wasn't supposed to make it past my teens, and so, I had to have emergency surgery when I was five, and the doctor, my dad didn't have the money. You didn't have insurance like you have nowadays, and so, my dad said, I'll pay you. Just tell me how. I'll do it over installments. Now, by the way, when I had heart surgery, he had to find a way to come up with $250 to pay the doctor. So it's a little bit different, I guess, than we have nowadays. But my dad didn't have that to go pay it. But that being said, he showed it. He manifested it. And when we go look at this in verse 9, how did God show us his love? I mean, it should be good enough that the Bible says it. If we believe the word of God and he says that he's love, then we need to believe it. But he wanted to show us or give us an idea. What did he mean when he said that, hey, I love you, that, you know, that I'm love? He did what? He manifested it. He showed it. And how did he show it? How was the love of God? Because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might be able to live. So, you know, that's how we know that God loves us. You know, I mean, how do I know that God's holy? When he's told us, and we've seen, through the Word how much he hates sin, and that he's got it from the very beginning when Adam and Eve sinned, he separated himself from them, took them out of the garden, and he made a separation. And of course, God, when God sent his Son down here, it was in order to get us reconciled back. Same thing with John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in the Bible. It says, God so loved the world that he what? He gave. Okay? And that's what love is. Love is giving. Okay? Love is doing. You know, love is going in and seeing a need that somebody has that maybe they don't even know they have. And then sacrificially going and doing it. And that's what love is. Love, you know, it never seeks its own. So, again, God distributed ultimately his love, by sending his son. So let's go back to 1 John 4, and let's look at, starting back in verse 10. He says, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent. So there it is again, that he loved us, how? And sent. He sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know, he sent him down here to reconcile us, to go and do something we couldn't do our own so we could go back and have reconciliation back to God. Verse 11, it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And, you know, I've kind of put that part in highlight, in my notes, because if God is love, and God has demonstrated that love by sending his son, and Christ came down here sacrificially to die for us. Verse 11 says, if God so loved us, we should also love one another. And so, again, we're going to talk a little bit more about that later on. Verse 12 says, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. And skip down just to verse 19. It says, we love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth God, but he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So, you know, trying to understand the love of God is just like trying to understand all of his attributes. That they're difficult for us to really grasp what God is like. He tries to tell us, he tries to give us a definition as best as he can, but, you know, this isn't a definition of God. God, you know, God in his attributes, I don't think we can have any idea of just when God talks about love, really what that means. We can see it, and maybe we can, hopefully we've experienced it inside of our own lives, but God, you know, he wants to show us, one, what love is about, and then he challenges us that we need to go love one another. You know, I think about, we just heard, about Mr. Jackson passing away. And we've had several folks that have lost loved ones here this year that have gone through things. We hear prayer requests up here all the time. And we think about it, if as a local body, God says that we should love, just as he loved us, we should love one another. And I think, how do we demonstrate that? You know, how do we show that we love somebody else? Hopefully when you hear these type of things and you hear requests, that something hits your heart and you reach out and you show the love of God. That's how we're going to make a difference inside the world. I remember when my wife had the bad car accident about 2.5 years ago. And I appreciated all the calls and the cards that we had from folks and the help, you know, to go and, during a very difficult time. But that's what we're here for. That's what we're here to go do. So again, when you think about it and you think about the love of God, there's a lot of people that maybe know there's a God, but if you're maybe they're not saved, and you go and ask somebody on the streets, hey, what is your concept of God? A lot of them would say, well, God's love. You know, God is love. But what does that mean? Have you ever heard what some people mean when they say what God is love, what it really means to them? Not necessarily the biblical love, but if you were to ask somebody, is God is love, what sometimes are things that you hear that maybe they mean by that, if you're so inclined to just want to say something or talk this morning, okay? Anybody? When you hear somebody say that God's love, what do you hear them say? Anything? John?
Basically, they'll get a free pass
for their sin. Exactly. I mean, that's what you hear so much of the time, you know, is that God, if God is love, there's no way that they're going to go, a loving God is going to send somebody down to hell. And that's a very common concept. Now, we all know, I was reading something when I was preparing for this, I'm sure that it was this person's opinion, but I understand what they were trying to get across and believe that, that a loving God, I think one of the most miserable places that somebody that doesn't really, is really saved, that is not saved, could ever be in, is it would probably be in heaven. That'd probably be the most inappropriate place for them to ever be in. I think for us as we live in this world, God is trying to prepare us as Christians for the next life that as we go to heaven. And, we need to be growing in that grace and growing in the type of things that when we go into heaven, it's just the perfection of what God is trying to work inside of our lives, even down here. So again, exactly right. When the scripture says that God is love, it's defining. It's not saying that's not really defining what God is. It's just one of his attributes that he has, and we see so many ways that he tries to go and portray it. It's just like when the Bible says God's light. Well, we don't see light and say, well, that's God, but God is light. It's one of his things. It's one of his attributes. So when you go through and you see, when the Bible talks about God is love, we know that ultimately that was expressed, through his son. So what I want to do for the last little bit that we have, I want you to turn, if you would, let me go find the passage, but it's in, I'm trying to scroll down here, so bear with me a second. If we go down to, and I'm sorry for being, turn to Genesis chapter 22. And I just want to use an Old Testament account of something that really is a demonstration of even what we of what we celebrate even today in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22, and just starting in verse 1. And it says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham arose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto one of his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, here I am, son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they both went, so they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. And bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar of the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I knowest that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went, and he took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord came unto called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. This is a great account of which I think I know we're all familiar with, but it talks about Abraham. He was, you know, there's a lot of great Old Testament people that we have accounts of in the Bible, but certainly Abraham was special in the sight of God. Who else do we know? Like in James 2:23, it says that he was called a friend of God. Elsewhere, he was the father of the faithful. Galatians, he was blessed with faithful Abraham. There's so much that was talked about Abraham and the example that he was as a Christian and his great faith. But many trials. You think about all the trials that this guy went through, that God had him go through, you know, to get him out of the country that he was in from his kindred, and ultimately to go and venture out to where God wanted him to be. Probably, though, of all the things that God sent him through, one of the most, probably to me, would be one of the most toughest things that he had to go through from a trial standpoint was offering up his own son. Look what God says. He says to Abraham in Genesis 22:2, he says, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee up into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I shall tell thee of. You know, really, almost every word in that particular verse deserves some kind of consideration. Look about it. He says, you know, no matter what God said to him, you saw immediate obedience from Abraham. He says, you know, what must he do? He says, Take now thy son. You know, had God said, Hey, go find a lamb, take a lamb with you. Maybe even I can't think of names here today, but you know, instead of taking Isaac, you know, why not go take Ishmael? That was his first son, but that wasn't what God commanded him to do. God said, "I want you to take up your son, the only son, and I want you to go and offer him for a burnt offering." The challenge that had to go be. To the son that was the son of promise. That, you know, we know that in Hebrews 11, that Abraham had the faith that says, you know, if I'm going to do this, God's just going to raise him back up from the dead. That was the kind of faith that he had. And so he took him. And as a parent, many of you in here are parents, just think about the challenge that you would have if God came to you and said, I want you to go take your only son, and I want you to go and sacrifice him. And you know, you go all the way up. Now, you know, there's probably some days that have been easier for me to obey that command with my son than other days, okay? Because they can be trying at times. But there's no question that, you know, I would never want to do anything. I love my son. But, you know, God says, hey, I want you to go, and I want you to go sacrifice him. And then they came to the place, in verse 9, they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built him an altar and laid the wood thereon. And, you know, he's going through this whole process of preparing the sacrifice. And if we were to, you know, if we were to go look at this, you know, think just how difficult that would be for us. I sometimes wonder, as I go through this count, about Isaac. I would imagine Isaac is probably a little bit stronger than Abraham. I don't know what they were like at this time, but you know, I don't see any resistance coming at all from Isaac when we go through this. We don't know what the accounts and what went through. I mean, think about it as yourself. Think about if your father took you up on top of a mountain and bound you as you're going to go take a knife to you. Would maybe that affect your relationship when you started going down the mountain? You know, would you maybe want to, you know, we don't read any of that type of story inside of or any type of an account. And we don't know what ended up happening, but it was never told us that anything ever happened between relationship between these two. It's almost like Isaac was willing to go. He trusted his father that much. And so, you know, when we come and we see something like this and what he did, you know, it's kind of like Abraham's attitude was like with Job when he says, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know, I think Abraham was ready to say, you know, "Hey, goodbye, son." I mean, he was ready to go and obey him, you know, all the way through. And we go in and we see going to the very end, we see that God does provide a sacrifice, does provide a lamb, and spares Isaac's life. You know, but you look, and I thought it was interesting to read this. I mean, do you remember who carried the wood up Mount Moriah for this particular offering? You know, it was Isaac. He was carrying his own wood, and it kind of is a parallel as we go look at the resurrection day and who bore under the weight of the cross, carrying it up to Golgotha. It was the Lord. But here the biggest difference is when we get and see what Christ did for us on the cross, he went all the way through to death. There wasn't another, there couldn't be another, lamb to take and do what Jesus ultimately went and did. But here we see that, you know, he spared and he laid, and proved, you know, his love for God. And I can't imagine, you know, the comfort and the joy, you know, when he saw how faithful God was. And we see all the stuff that God did, you know, for Abraham inside of his life. Can't imagine, you know, what the story must have been like when they came down off the mount and told everybody, you know, what God had done. I sometimes wonder what would happen when he went and told this thing to Sarah. You know, "Hey, Sarah, don't you know I was going up here, I was going to go slay him. I don't know how your wife would react, but mine would have probably looked at me like, what?" You know, I mean, but, you know, I tell you, it just shows that when you obey the Lord and you do what he says, what he'll do inside of our lives. And I guess how I want to kind of conclude here today is, you know, when we see what happened in Abraham's life and his immediate obedience to everything that God said and what God did for him through his life, you know, when we show God love, what is one of the things God says how we can prove our love to him? He says, "If you love me, what? Keep my commandments." Okay? I look at Abraham, and it seems like all of his obedience was immediate. And I wish I could say that when God presents something to me that I could always say, you know, "Yes, Lord," you know, that I immediately obeyed. Sometimes I think we kind of question. You know, I could, again, going back to what I said earlier, I could see myself, if I was Abraham, going, you know, "Does it have to be Isaac? You know, why can't it be, you know, Ishmael? Or, you know, why can't this be good enough, something else? But, you know, not the best thing that I have." That's what God wants from us. God just doesn't want there to be anything between us and between him. He wants us to love him first. And it's not an easy thing to do. You know, yet, you know, that's what God commands. You know, husbands, God says, love your wife. So, you know, there may be some times that we want to initially maybe struggle with that, but it's not a choice, you know. And we need to do exactly as Christ did for the church. That's how we're supposed to love our wives. And, you know, it's sacrificial. You think about what God, when he talks about love, really what that means, whether it be as a husband, a wife, or even as a Christian, you know, it means it's got to cost us something. It's not a matter that I just do this in my convenience. You know, if I want to reach out and meet somebody's need, you know, if I have it and I just tell the person, the Bible says a story in a story, if I have the goods and somebody has a need and I don't give it to them, I just say, "Hey, I'll be praying for you," and I don't provide it, you know, God puts that on us. He wants us to be a giving sacrificially to those that are in need. He wants us to obey him. If we can provide something, we're having a missions conference. And you know, God wants us to sacrificially give. And if God puts it on your heart to go do something, whether it be during the missions conference or anywhere else, our obedience should be immediate. But we struggle with that. At least I do. And so my challenge today is we go and we talk about, you know, Easter Sunday and the victory that Christ had. You know, we would have no hope if he hadn't come down and died for us. He was the only way, and he knew from the foundation of the world all the things that I've done that he's going to die for. When we see him up on the cross, you think about as you go and you do things for other people, even if it's sacrificial, is your expectation that they're just going to just be gushy all over and so thankful that you did it? Talk about Christ. Did the people that hung him on the cross, you know, were they thankful that of his ministry as he walked the face of the earth? Of course not. But what kind of attitude did Christ have towards them? What did he say on the cross to those people that put him on there? He said, "Father, forgive them. You know, they don't know what they do." You go back and you look at First Corinthians chapter 13, and it talks about what love is, and it talks about, you know, that it doesn't seek its own. You know, it talks about all the things that true love really means that should be displayed inside of our lives. And just think about if we were to live that, and we were to be out in the world living and showing the kind of love that God showed to us and that God wants us to show to others. You know, I think they make a huge difference. It, you know, church isn't just coming here and, you know, and singing hymns and hearing some messages. It's designed to change us. And we need to go out and be the example, a Christian to be Christ-like. And there's nothing that exhibits that more than love. And I tell you, there's a world out there that needs it. There's a world out there that they're seeking their own. And you talk about standing out. Whether if you want to or not, you go out there and you do what's right, and you out and you're sacrificing yourself, and you're not, you know, lifting yourself up. You know, I have a, you know, it's amazing the concept that's out there. I have a neighbor. I tell this to the class sometimes that, you know, great neighbor, you know, and we get along fine, but she says she's a Christian, but it's a totally different philosophy. You know, her whole thing is, you know, I need to look at people that are around me and those that aren't giving anything to me. I need to just cut them out. And just give back to people that give to me. And that's a pervasive attitude in our whole society. If they're not going to do anything for me, I'm not going to do anything for them. I'm glad that wasn't Christ's attitude. And so, you know, it needs to be our attitude as we go out, don't expect anything back. And I don't care if it's a spouse. I don't care what it may be. You know, you don't do to receive. You do because I want to obey the Lord, and I want him to be first in my life. And that's how we demonstrate it, is through that obedience. So doesn't matter how tough things get, God's going to take you through it. God is going to provide just as he did for Abraham, you know, in ways that we would have never imagined. But no matter what the cost ends up being, we need to be willing to go through it and just trust the fact that God's going to provide on the other end. So anyway, so that's kind of, you know, all I had for you this morning. You know, I wish that, you know, I usually prepare a little bit different, you know, for this kind of class than I do the one I have upstairs. So I'll try to be more prepared next time. But let's conclude with a word of prayer. Lord, I just want to thank you for this time that we've had this morning. God, just want to praise you for, Lord, what today means. Lord, we should every day be celebrating what Christ did for us on the cross. And Lord, I just pray that that we would look inside of ourselves this morning and Father, just see any area in our lives that isn't pleasing to you, and that, Lord, we would learn what it means to obey, and that, God, we would reach out, and if there's anyone that we have an issue with, that, Lord, we'd make it right, and that, Lord, we would find ways that we can, you know, show and demonstrate your love to both those inside of this room as well as those without, and that we'd honor you until you come. Lord, again, be with the services to come. I just pray, Father, you would touch hearts. If there's anyone here that doesn't know as your Savior today, Lord, they would accept you as their Savior. And I ask for it in Jesus' name. Amen.